I've been meaning to send my story in for a while now. I think every time I sit down to write it, my hands just hover over the keyboard, and I start questioning if it's even worth telling. But then I remember how I felt that night, that gnawing sensation deep in my gut, the way my skin prickled with adrenaline. And I figured, yeah, this does belong here, so I hope you guys enjoy my story. I've been a fan of Booze and Booze for around a year now, always looking forward to those late night uploads where I could turn the lights off, throw on my headphones, and let the stories wrap around me like a blanket. I never thought I'd have one to share, but this isn't just my story. It's something that happened to me and a coworker back when I was fresh out of high school, working late night shift at a home improvement store, a big one. I'm sure you can guess the name. Between the two of us, I think she got the worst of it. Back then, I was taking my first semester of college classes, scraping together tuition money by working at a regional hardware chain. It wasn't anything glamorous, running a register, handling inventory, mopping up whatever messes customers would leave behind, but it was pretty easy work. I liked most of my coworkers and the pay was decent, and most nights were uneventful. Keyword there being most nights. This one in particular was a pretty slow evening. Everyone was watching the clocks and none of them were moving. We were around an hour from closing. The store had that eerie half-empty atmosphere that only big retail spaces get after dark. The lights above my head buzzed, casting this sick glow over the aisles, and the air smelled like sawdust and metal. The customers left in the building were the usual stragglers, contractors grabbing last-minute supplies, couples arguing over paint samples, that sort of thing. I was finishing up a return at customer service when she walked up to me. Let's call her Hannah. She was one of the newer hires, maybe a year or two older than me, and usually pretty upbeat. But that night she looked kind of different, tight-lipped, stiff-shouldered. Her eyes darted around like she was expecting something to lunge at her out from the shadows. "Hey," she said, low enough that I could only hear her. "Can you, walk with me for a little bit?" I raised an eyebrow. "What's up?" She swallowed and glanced over her shoulder. "I think I'm being followed." That snapped me to attention. She told me about this man. A big guy, older with a greasy baseball cap and a stare that made her skin crawl. He'd approached her in plumbing, asking her for her help to find a part. Nothing weird at first, but then he just didn't leave. Every time she tried to step away, he found another excuse to keep her there, his questions getting more off topic and more personal. Finally, she made up a reason to leave, and when she checked over her shoulder, he was still there watching her. That was 45 minutes ago. He followed her around the store, and eventually she lost him in power tools, then bolted to the nearest coworker for some kind of assistance. She didn't know where he was at now. I didn't ask any more questions. Hannah was obviously freaked out, and if there was even a chance that some creep was lurking about, I wasn't about to let her wander the store alone. Honestly, this was more exciting than anything work-related anyway, so I prefer to run interference than actually close the store. "Come on," I said, grabbing a clipboard from the counter. Let's look busy." We made our way towards the back aisles, checking inventory, scanning shelves, counting items. Occasionally, my eyes kept flicking up, sweeping the store, but I didn't see anybody out of place. Just a couple of customers near checkout. Donnie in a neon vest was restocking lumber, and one of my other friends was just dicking around on the forklift in the bay. "Are you sure he's still even here?" I whispered. Hannah hesitated. "I don't know. I just feel like he is." For some reason, I just didn't like that answer. We kept moving, aisle by aisle, her sticking close to my side. About 20 minutes later, she seemed to relax a little bit. We hadn't seen the guy at all, and she was starting to think that maybe he did indeed leave. This actually proved to be two birds with one stone, because we got a lot of that light inventory work done. And then, that's when I saw him. I was standing near the aisle end cap, watching my buddy do these slow, lazy donuts in the forklift out in lumber, shaking my head at his stupidity. Then I turned back to check on Hannah, only to spot him. He was lurking at the mouth of an aisle, half shielded by the end cap display. It was a big man, mid-50s with a broad chest and slumped shoulders, dressed in these dark jeans and a windbreaker. His baseball cap was pulled really low, but I could see the way he was looking at her. I could also see that this guy was jacked beneath that jacket. Even with the extra layer, his arms were three times the size of mine. He stared at Hannah, fixed, unblinking. I could tell his whole body was tense, like he was just waiting for the right moment to do something. This is not good. I forced my face into something neutral and walked back to Hannah, who was maybe 30 feet away, scanning a shelf. I walked right by that weirdo, down the aisle, and put myself between her and the guy, watching from the end of the shelving. I kept my voice casual. "Hey, let's head back to customer service." She frowned at me. "What? Why?" I stepped closer, lowering my voice. "Because he's here, end of the aisle, watching you." Her face paled and I nodded at her, encouraging her that this was pretty serious. "Just walk," I murmured. "Now." She turned stiffly and started moving towards the front of the store, as quick as she could without actually running. I turned back to the aisle, ready for anything. To my relief, he wasn't right on top of me like I was expecting him to be. The man just hadn't moved. I stared him down, gripping my clipboard, fighting the urge to let my hand shake. Then I smiled, the way you do when you're trying to let somebody know that you're not afraid of them. "You need any help finding anything, sir?" His stare didn't even waver. I took a slow step toward him. "We're closing soon, just so you know." His mouth then twitched, somewhere between a grimace and a sneer. I could tell he wanted to say something back to me, but then without a word, he turned and walked off, disappearing down the aisle. I stood there for a few seconds, forcing my breath to stay even, pulse pounding in my ears. I felt like a damn gunslinger. I was glad to have helped out a coworker. And then I went to go find Hannah. She was back at customer service, gripping the counter, body rigid. A small crowd of assistant managers had gathered around her. "Is he gone?" I hesitated. "I don't know. I hope so." "Jesus," she muttered, pressing her hands over her face. "That guy's been watching me all night." "Yeah, he's super creepy. He didn't even say a word to me." We waited until the store officially closed, watching the last customers leave, making sure that he wasn't among them. I didn't see him again. Maybe he had in fact left. Maybe I spooked him. Either way, I was just relieved when we locked those doors. But that relief did not last long. An hour later, the store was empty except for a few employees. Most of us were already clocked out, trickling off to our cars. I stepped outside, the night air sharp and cold, the parking lot stretching dark and quiet around me. I glanced over and saw this single car parked at the far edge of the lot. All the employees parked on a small side lot, so whoever was out there was not an employee. I knew before I even got close. I walked slowly, trying to not look too obvious, heading toward my own car, but veering just enough to get a good look. A beat-up old sedan idling low, and inside, the same man. His face was barely visible in the dim glow of the dashboard lights, but he was just sitting there, waiting. A deep instinctual alarm flared up in my brain, every nerve firing off at once. Lizard brain, fight or flight. I turned on my heel and made a beeline back to the store. The security office for the strip mall was a few doors down, tucked in between a shuttered electronics store and a laundromat. I knocked on the glass and peered between the blinds. A guy in uniform answered me, maybe late 40s, heavy set, with a bored expression on his face. "Something wrong?" I jerked my thumb over my shoulder. "Yeah, there's a guy parked in the lot. He was inside our store earlier, acting super weird and following my coworker around. Now he's just sitting there." The security guy frowned at me. "He's still there now?" "Yeah, far into the lot, dark sedan." He grunted. "All right, stay put." I stood there as he climbed into his marked SUV and rolled out into the lot, cruising slow towards that sedan. He stopped behind it and threw his lights on. I watched from a distance as he stepped out and approached the driver's side. A tense few seconds then passed, and then the guy in the sedan just fired up his engine. He didn't speed off, though. He didn't make this big scene. He just pulled out, circled the lot, and then exited onto the road, slowly. As he passed me, he looked directly at me, eyes locked onto mine, dark and bottomless. And I swear to God, I felt something press against my chest, something heavy, like he was willing me to die right there on the sidewalk, like he was memorizing me for later. Almost like he was telling me that he would see me again. I watched his taillights vanish off into the dark. My pulse was still hammering in my ears. I only realized that I'd been holding my breath when the security guy rolled back up beside me and leaned out his window. "Yeah, that guy was definitely off," he said, shaking his head. "Kept acting like he had some kind of business here, but wouldn't say what. Just kept asking when people left for the night." A chill then coiled up my spine. "What'd you tell him?" "I told him to take a fucking hike," the guard said. "And lucky for you, kid, he did." He eyed me for a second. "You drive straight home. Keep an eye out, and if you see him again, call somebody immediately." I just nodded, trying to swallow that lump in my throat. "Good call bringing it to us," he added. "That guy wasn't just loitering. He was definitely waiting." I didn't ask what he meant, but I heard he knew. I hurriedly went back to my car, glancing over my shoulder the whole way, half expecting that old sedan to be idling at the end of the lot again, but it was gone. The entire parking lot was now empty. I locked my doors the second I got inside and just sat there gripping the wheel, forcing myself to catch my breath. Then I pulled out, making sure to check every mirror and every side street. I also took the long way home that night, just in case. For the next few days, I was on edge. Every time I would walk to my car at night, after closing, I half expected to see that sedan parked somewhere in the lot again, headlights off, waiting. We started leaving work in pairs, sticking close to other coworkers. I even told my manager about the whole thing, and he had security do extra sweeps of the property every single night. Thankfully, that guy never came back. Poor Hannah was shaken for a while too. She completely switched up her schedule, so she wouldn't be working nights anymore, which I can't really blame her for. Some nights, I wondered if that had been the plan all along, if he'd been waiting for her to leave alone, to see if she got in her car by herself. I never ended up telling her what the security guy said. I didn't want to make her any more scared than she already was. I've actually sent a story into Booze and Booze before. Maybe some of you remember it. It was about my coworker Benji and this weird night shift incident that we had together. It's been a while since I last submitted, but I figured, why not? I'll throw another one your way. And this one's even crazier. I used to work in a call center for a nationwide towing company. The kind of place that stayed open 24/7 to dispatch trucks at all hours of the day and night. The job itself was simple. Take calls, input service requests, and then send them out to the right drivers. Since I worked overnights, it was usually dead quiet, which meant I had a lot of downtime. My coworker Benji and I would have the same shifts, and we got along pretty well enough to pass those hours. Our office itself was inside the shared business complex. Nothing special, just a bunch of suites crammed together, totally empty at night. The only thing around that had any life after midnight was the 7-Eleven across the street. That place was a godsend during these long shifts. We'd head over to grab some snacks on break, vape in the parking lot, before heading back into the desk. With that being said, it also brought in a little riffraff. Those that remember my last story may recall the details. I went out to use the external bathrooms, and while walking back into the office, I got jumped by a homeless dude that was hanging around one of our dumpsters. Lots of homeless flocked to the 7-Eleven at night, like moths to a flame. That night was like really any other. Calls were pretty slow, office was quiet, and then I'd say around 2 a.m., Benji and I decided to take a break. We lock up and cross the lot and started off towards the gas station. As we were walking, a car whipped into the parking lot really fast, jerking to a stop in front of the store. We both noticed it, but didn't think too much of it. Maybe just some drunk guy making a late night beer run or something. "Probably needs a box of condoms," Benji said, laughing. We were halfway across the street when we heard the shouting. At first it was muffled and distant, but then a man's voice cut through the night, barking orders loud and aggressively. The car that had screeched into the lot suddenly tore back off onto the road, disappearing down a side street, tires screaming. And then, through the huge glass windows of the 7-Eleven, we saw a man in a ski mask holding a gun. Benji grabbed my arm. Holy shit. I didn't say anything. I just turned and started walking back toward the office, fast. My pulse was slamming as I kept my eyes on the store. The guy inside was moving in every direction, pointing the gun at the cashier. Then, as if in slow motion, I saw him whip his head toward us, and we weren't alone. Another guy, a second one, also in a mask, came running out of the store. He looked around and then locked eyes with us, and then sprinted straight for us. Benji and I didn't say a word, but just ran. This really felt like something straight out of Grand Theft Auto. We didn't need any logic or instruction. This was real danger. Only one move to be made, and that was just to get the fuck out. We turned around and the two guys outside the 7-Eleven locked on, their footfalls coming up behind us. One of them, the one with the gun, yelled something that I couldn't quite make out, but I don't think I really needed to hear it to understand. This was a chase. Benji was a step ahead of me, already in a full sprint across the parking lot, so I pushed my legs harder, pumping my arms and tried to keep up. Our office was close, just a couple of hundred feet away, but that distance had never felt so damn long until then. Behind us, I heard the first guy's shoe slap against the pavement. He was fast, a lot faster than me. The gunman was trailing behind him, and the other guy, the one who'd been barking orders inside, was gaining ground. I half expected to feel him grab my collar at any second. I risked taking a glance back, and it was a big mistake. The bastard was literally right there, 5 feet away, his ski mask riding up just enough for me to see his mouth twisted up into a snarl. "You're mine," he shouted. Benji reached for the door first, skidding to a stop, hands fumbling for the keypad. "Come on, come on." I could hear the beeping as he punched in the code. My feet hit the landing of the building and we were almost there. But then, something slammed into my back and I went down hard, my chin bouncing off the concrete. My teeth clacked together, pain exploding through my jaw. The weight of the guy was on me in an instant, his hands clawing at my jacket, trying to turn me over. "Fuck!" I gasped out, twisting and kicking out blindly. My shoe connected with something soft, a stomach, maybe his groin, and the guy let out this grunt, loosening his grip just enough for me to roll free. Benji was screaming my name the whole time. "Get the fuck up, dude, get up!" I scrambled to my feet, blood in my mouth, world tilting. The guy then lunged again, grabbing at my sleeve, but I ripped free, hurled myself towards the door. Benji had it open just enough for me to squeeze through, and the second I was inside, he threw his weight against it, trying to slam it shut. But the guy outside was not giving up easily. It was the other guy, the one with the gun, giving it everything he had trying to get inside. A hand then shot through the gap, thick fingers clawed at the air trying to grab at us. Benji grunted and shoved harder. "Dude, help me!" I threw myself against the door. The guy outside let out this furious roar, pushing back, fingers scraping against my arm the whole time. For a split second, I really thought he was about to win. I thought he was gonna get it open. If that happened, we'd be fucked for sure. But then from outside, I heard, "Move!" A gunshot exploded through the night. That sound was deafening in the enclosed space. I felt the impact of it on my chest, like a punch from the inside. The guy outside cursed, jerking back, and we took the chance. Benji slammed the door shut and locked it into place. Silence. I staggered backward. My hands were shaking, adrenaline pouring through me like ice water. Neither of us were hit, thankfully, so we assumed they tried to shoot the door or the building, maybe even just up in the air to scare us. Benji was panting, staring at the door. "Dude." Another bang. The guy outside punched the glass full force. Another bang. Again, bang. I could see a silhouette through the narrow windows. His breath was fogging up the glass. His posture was rigid with rage. His friend was standing right beside him, the gunman, and the two of them started circling the building, checking the windows and the other doors. "We gotta go to the back office now," Benji said, grabbing my sleeve. "Go, go!" We ran deeper into the office, past empty desks and silent cubicles. The security office was in the back, just big enough for a desk and a few filing cabinets, and one single chair. But the door was solid wood, with a steel sheet inside of it, and it had a deadbolt. We threw ourselves inside and slammed it shut, locking it immediately. Outside, that banging continued. I grabbed my phone with shaking hands and punched in 911. Operator immediately answering.
911, what's your emergency?
There's two guys trying to break into our office, I said. One of them has a gun. Benji sat against the wall, gripping his knees, and his chest was heaving. Are you in a safe location? The dispatcher asked. It was kind of funny to hear that question. As a roadside assistant operator, that was literally the opening line of our script. I think so, I said. We're locked inside a back office. From outside, we heard another boom, and that sound made me jump. What the fuck? Benji hissed. I could tell he was getting agitated. I didn't have to wander for very long. I could hear weird, faded beeps from outside. The keypad. They shot the damn keypad. They're trying to get in, I whispered. Benji wiped his face, sweat slick on his forehead. Shit, man, shit. This is crazy. We're like fish in a barrel. We should have never ran back in here. The dispatcher was still talking to me, but I barely heard any words she said. I was far too busy listening to the sounds of outside, the muffled voices, the hurried footsteps, the gunman cursing underneath his breath. I heard another shot, then nothing. The silence stretched on, and I could hardly take a breath. That's when I heard sirens. Red and blue lights flashed through the windows, painting the walls in frantic colors. Benji let out this breathless laugh, half hysteria, half relief. Holy shit, man. Holy shit. We stayed locked in that room until the cops banged on the door and announced themselves. That's when we finally stepped out, and I got my first real look at the damage. The front door was a complete mess. Bullet holes in the keypads, cracks spiderwebbing across the glass. The cops questioned us, and we gave our statements, still shaking, still reeling. The two guys were long gone, disappeared off into the neighborhood, but we knew one thing for sure. They wanted us dead. And if we would have been a second slower, we would have been. The second we stepped out, it really hit me how close we'd actually been to dying. That front door was ruined. The keypad was a mangled mess of metal and shattered plastic. Bullet holes pocked the frame. A thin wisp of dust still curled from where the gunman had tried and failed to blast his way inside. A couple of the officers were already sweeping the area, flashlights cutting off through the dark. Another was waiting for us, notepad in hand. "Fellas okay?" he asked. Benji just barked out a laugh, the full weight of the situation finally washing over him. "Yeah, just fucking fantastic." I barely recognized my own voice when I spoke. Were they caught? The cop shook his head. They took off on foot before we arrived. We got units combing the area though, but no sign of them yet. Benji just ran a hand through his hair. Jesus Christ. The next 30 minutes were just a blur of questions and police chatter. We told them everything about the robbery, about the chase, about the fight at the door. An officer took photos of my arm where the guy had clawed at me. Another pointed out a smear of blood on the doorframe, the pavement where I fell. "Damn, they wanted in bad," one of the cops muttered, eyeing those bullet holes. "Yeah, no shit." Our boss, the owner-operator of the call center, showed up just after 3 a.m. He was an older guy, tough but fair. He looked at the damage with that kind of weary sigh that said he was already adding up the cost inside of his head. "Jesus, boys," he said, rubbing a hand over his face. "You okay?" Benji was just staring at the shot-up door, jaw tight. I nodded at him. "Yeah." Our boss exhaled. "Well, You're done for the night. Go home and get some sleep. You're both on paid leave until this mess is sorted out. We didn't argue. We were far too wrung out, too drained. Benji drove me home and we barely spoke on the way there. But when I shut my apartment door behind me and locked it, that's when I finally let myself breathe a little and realized that my hands were still shaking. Those guys had been out for blood. And if we'd been just a second slower, we would have given it to them.